At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
It's about time, a New York Met victory, and it's also time for a very special doubleheader split drive home edition of Rico Bronya. I did go to the second game of this doubleheader, the game the Mets won, snapping yet another losing streak, snapping a four-game losing streak. The first game of the doubleheader, which was an absolute disaster, occurred during the afternoon. I was on the air doing Evan and Tiki. A lot of people did not show up to that game, which you can't blame anybody for. I get that they rained the game out. It wasn't raining while I was driving to Citi Field, so I was a little bit bitter about the rain out, but I understand why try to start a game, stop a game, start it again in the midst of a rainstorm. But one of the negatives of postponing a game is you're telling people, now go to the afternoon game when most people work, even if it's July 4th week. But either way, I digress. I'm driving out of the parking lot right now out of Citi Field, a very hot, steamy night in which this Met team needed to win a game, needed desperately to win a game. Game one was obviously a debacle. Reed Garrett had yet another implosion. He has been impeached from the circle of trust. More than that, the offense did nothing. And so going into game two of this doubleheader, I can't say I was surprised, but we did see something that, you know, maybe we didn't expect tonight, and that was Carlos Mendoza shaking up the lineup. When you are struggling and your offense is limp, and it has been limp for a while, it's underachieved all season, but obviously recently it has been horrific. Game one was, you know, game one is going to be remembered for Carlos Mendoza's decision to pull Clay Holmes, and we'll spend a few minutes on that. But let's be honest, game one should be remembered for the fact this offense had two Peralta is a hell of a pitcher, but they did nothing against him. They did nothing against the Brewer bullpen. And sometimes throughout this season, we forget that time in and time out, it's usually the offense's fault. So while we'll get to the decision to pull Clay Holmes, and we'll certainly destroy Reed Garrett a little bit, two hits. So Mendy goes into game two and decides, all right, screw it, I'm going to change the lineup. Now, there are a lot of ways you can change this lineup. I suggested to Carlos Mendoza a few weeks ago, how about you lead off Juan Soto? Soto is so locked in right now. He gets on base at an incredible clip, even though he doesn't get big hits with runners in scoring position. If he's leading off the game with a walk, that's a good thing. You give yourself a chance to score runs. Part of the problem with Lindor in the leadoff spot over the last few weeks is he's not getting on base. He's not doing anything. So I had suggested to Mendy lead off Juan Soto. I kind of knew that was never going to happen. So when I saw the lineup change, I'd say a few hours before game time, we discussed it briefly on WFAN, and that, of course, lineup change is Brandon Nimmo back to the leadoff spot, something he hasn't done this season, but certainly was doing a lot earlier in his career. And Francisco Lindor to the two spot, keeping Soto three, keeping Alonso four, my initial reaction was, all right, fine. Like, is it what I would do? Not necessarily. Is it amazing? Was it very exciting? Like, ooh, this is different. I can't wait to write this into my scorecard. No. But I think what he figured was, I got to try something. And I got to try something around the leadoff spot because Francisco Lindor, who is the engine of this team, is not hitting. So try something to get him going. And years ago, when Bobby Valentine was the manager of this team, one of the strategies he had was if a guy is slumping, he would actually move him to the number two hole. That the number two spot in the lineup was actually not a bad spot to try to get a bat going. And because Juan Soto is batting third and you're giving whoever's batting second the ultimate protection, and of course that ultimate protection is Juan Soto, I get it. I wasn't ecstatic about it. But at this point as a Met fan, you really can't hate anything that's different. Can't hate anything that's a change. Because you got to try something. Look, we could sit here and just run out the same lineup every single day, which is basically what Mendy did, and hope that things are going to be different, which is basically what they've done. And I've kind of sat here saying, sure, just hope things are different. It's baseball. Things will change. But Carlos Mendoza decided, screw it. Let's move Lindor to the two spot. What I am curious about, and this is certainly worthy of keeping an eye on, is last year when he moved Lindor to the leadoff spot a little over a year ago, a year and a month ago, Lindor said, keep me there. If you're going to move me to the leadoff spot, just keep me there. So does Carlos Mendoza, based on one game, and it was a good one because Lindor hit, and obviously Brandon Nimmo found a great spot, did a Grand Slam home run. Does Mendy stick with this, not just for the next few days, but for a while? And my guess is going to be, yeah. My guess is, even if it doesn't work as well as it worked in game two of this doubleheader, I think he's probably going to honor those wishes of Lindor from last year, which is, I'm going to keep you in this spot. And when you look at the way Brandon Nimmo has hit, Pete Hoffman's favorite Met, there's no denying he's been performing. And the funny thing is, and you saw it in this game with both Nimmo and Lindor, the big spot's going to find you. You know, you could hit the guy first, hit a guy third, hit a guy seventh. Eventually, that big moment is going to find you. So obviously, early in this game, and it was great to see the bottom of the order kind of lead to this, Brandon Nimmo finds a bases-loaded spot. And off the bat, that fly ball to right field, I thought had a chance to get out, but it looked as it was traveling towards right field that there was a decent chance that ball was going to be caught. And as it snuck over the right field fence, you could hear not just the excitement of Citi Field, but almost the deep breath from Citi Field. Because the fans in that building in Game 2, much like the fans in that building in Game 1, we're tense people right now. We're expecting doom, and why wouldn't you? Based on the stretch of games that the Mets are in right now. So that Grand Slam was not just a huge moment for Brandon himself, but that was a huge moment for this team and for this fan base to take a deep breath. Not that any of us thought the game was over. That's for damn sure. I mean, I'm sitting there, and I think we all were, especially when Blade Tidwell was taken out of the game, and we saw the struggles from, trying to remember who came in to replace him. Was it Deadnell Nunez? Deadnell Nunez, when Tidwell gave up the back-to-back home runs in the sixth inning of this game. Obviously, things were tense. It's a 5-3 game. All of a sudden, a 5-0 game becomes 5-3. And you knew after the Nimmo Grand Slam, while there was that sense of relief, that sense of, oh, wow, a big hit, an explosive hit, a home run with actually guys on base. What a concept. You knew it wasn't going to be easy. But a huge moment for Brandon Nimmo. It's crazy that on the day that Mendy finally makes this change or makes some kind of significant change, a big spot finds a guy involved in the change. And even later in this game, after the Brewers had tightened it up a little bit, it was 5-3. We're all sitting there saying they got to add insurance. It doesn't necessarily feel like 5-3 is going to be enough, especially after Tidwell gave up the home runs. Nunez came in. They gave up the run on the ground out. It didn't feel comfortable. And I loved when Hayden Sanger laid down that bunt. I thought that was a no-brainer. You know, I don't necessarily always love bunting, but I think there are certain moments where a bunt makes sense. Mauricio on first base, nobody out. Absolutely lay down a bunt and give your top of the order two cracks to drive a run in. And after Brandon Nimmo didn't drive a run in, again, you move a guy in the lineup, a situation's going to find you. And Francisco Lindor, with two outs and a runner on third base, the situation found him. And then you tack on later when he ripped an RBI double. You saw a different Francisco Lindor. And I don't know, honestly, I don't even care, but I don't know if moving to the two-hole is necessarily going to be the thing or was the thing that woke him up in this game. And I go back to last year. Do we really think that if Lindor wasn't moved to the top of the order, he wasn't going to have a great second half? I think sometimes things are coincidences, or sometimes things spark you a little bit, but you were going to be sparked one way or the other, even if it wasn't being moved in the lineup. I have too much respect for Francisco Lindor as a baseball player to think that if he wasn't moved to the leadoff spot last year, he wasn't going to eventually get hot and have a good year. But maybe, at least on a one-day basis, moving to the two-hole, getting this DH day, relaxed him a little bit. Maybe he saw better pitches to hit. Whatever it was, that was a different Francisco Lindor, and we know how important that is because he is the engine of this offense. Like, it ain't a coincidence. When Lindor is not getting on base and Lindor is not hitting, this team doesn't score runs. So it's funny, and I guess it's what makes baseball baseball, that this lineup change, Nimmo leadoff, Lindor two, both guys found big moments in this game, and they were both able to come through. And that was great. Now, I don't want to leave out the pitching. I know the final line on Blade Tidwell is not going to be the prettiest thing in the world. 4 1/3 innings. He ends up giving up 3 runs in this game. But Blade Tidwell pitched pretty well. And you can see in a game like this, with a pitcher like this, why you use the opener. Because there's almost a different mentality when Tidwell is giving up the baseball in the 6th inning with a lead versus the 5th inning. It just, it feels a little bit different. And also, you don't have to face the top of the order in that 1st inning. So, while I am a traditionalist and I would obviously rather see starting pitchers pitch, I do understand in a situation like this why you use an opener. And for whatever reason, Waskar Brazoban has been actually good in this role. They've used him a handful of times now. This was his 3rd open, whatever the hell you want to call it. And Waskar Brazoban has done a very good job. So credit to him, credit to Blade Tidwell, and then really credit to Edwin Diaz. I'm not even going to give Mendy credit for going to Edwin Diaz in the 8th inning. I think that's a no-brainer. I think that once Ryan Stanek is even in the game, my attitude, and at that point, remember what you're talking about. It's a close game. Now, they were able to break it open a few innings later, but this is a tight game. Who knows if the Mets are going to be able to hold on. I mean, the way this losing has gone on, you almost are waiting for the Edwin Diaz implosion. Like, he hasn't had that yet, knock on wood. Edwin's been great. But I thought, Stanek in this game, you're just waiting. All right, he puts a guy on base. He puts two guys on base. You got to break glass in case of emergency and go to Edwin Diaz. And he did. And even though Edwin fell behind the hitter he was facing, I'm trying to remember who it was. Obviously, when I am doing a drive home, Rico, I don't have the scorecard in front of me. My scorecard took a beating tonight. It was so hot, I think my scorecard was filled with sweat tonight. I don't know if you could tell watching the game on TV or if it was described that way. Also, I'm not even sure it was that hot. I think because me and my son who went to the game walked so far from the subway, and then we walked up the stairs as opposed to taking an elevator or an escalator, I think by the time we sat down to start...
Well, somehow Evan got disconnected while he was driving, and I was unprepared to hop on because I thought that he was in a good spot. But yeah, so I don't remember. I don't know what he was actually talking about. Hey, one thing that we have to talk about. Hey, I don't know what just happened, but let's just say one thing that Evan hasn't mentioned yet, and he will hopefully when he comes back, is the fact that Francisco Lindor, I know, laugh it off. Francisco Lindor is an all-star. Does anybody want to talk about that? Because he is. He's named an all-star. And I don't know if it means much to people. I know he was touched for it. I saw the post game. I think he got a big reaction. I think he was happy about it. At the end of the day, I'm happy that he's been acknowledged. But the most important thing is that Evan Roberts is back, thank God.
What was that?
I said the most important thing is that you're back.
Was I gone?
Yes, you froze.
Oh, wow. How long was I gone? What was I talking about?
You hold on. Let me. There was someone that said, what exactly did you say? You were saying something and then you froze and it completely, we have no idea. Mets are going to get back on track. No, there goes, I don't know. You said start, they had to start something, and then I don't know.
Oh, if the season was going to turn around?
Yeah, I was talking about Francisco Lindor being named an all-star.
What was that?
Francisco Lindor being named an all-star.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all found that out in the crowd when they announced it on the PA system and said, batting second, the starting shortstop in the all-star game, Francisco Lindor. And I half-heartedly cheered because I'm like, okay, great. Now can you play like an all-star again? Congratulations. go play like that.
Yeah, no, listen. But it seemed like you missed the post-game interview on the field. It seemed like they were talking about that, and it sounded like he got a good ovation. And listen.
Well,
he deserves it.
He absolutely deserves it. And I don't mean to minimize it just because recently he hasn't been hitting. Francisco Lindor, it's incredible he hasn't been an all-star as a Met. It's kind of crazy that this is going to be his first time as a Met, as an all-star. He deserves to start. I'm happy for him. I still trust Lindor. I think a big part of why Lindor's gotten a free pass from most Met fans, despite his struggles, is because we love him and we trust him. And I think most of us have gotten to the point where we realize it's baseball. And it sucks when a guy isn't hitting. And his importance is obvious, because when he doesn't hit, he doesn't get on base, the team struggles. So I think to answer anyone who is asked, and we've talked about it briefly over the last few Ricos, hey, Lindor's been a problem. How come he gets a free pass? How come he doesn't face a lot of criticism? I think it's the same reason why at times Mike Piazza or David Wright wouldn't face a lot of criticism. He's moved into that trusted territory as a Met. But congrats to him. I mean, I'm thrilled for him that he's a starting shortstop for the All-Star team. Now you got to hit, and you got to perform. I think what I was saying when I froze is I would love to sit here and tell you that this win is going to spark the team, but I can't say that confidently. I think we need to see this team play well for a couple of days, dare I say a week, and then maybe our confidence will start to grow again. I hope that we're sitting here, you know, in August doing the Drunk Rico and laughing about how nervous we got when the team was struggling, when they lost 14 out of 17. I hope it can be a footnote from this season. But it has been so bad and so ugly, you can't blame any of us for packing. I do want to say a few things about game one. Obviously, we'll do a more extensive series recap, Rico Bronya, after the game on Thursday night, the finale of this series. My opinion on pulling Clay Holmes was this. I thought, based on the extra day of rest, I thought based on the status of this bullpen, even though it had been rested because it had 2 days, you understand you're playing a doubleheader, and it's great that you added Austin Warren as the 27th man. I think when you combine the state of the bullpen, when you combine the extra day of rest for Clay and the fact that it's going to be another period where he's going to get extra rest, because remember, he's not coming back and pitching Sunday against the Yankees on 3 days rest, and then they're off again on Monday. So Clay Holmes is going to have another start with extra rest. I would have pushed him. When he got Churio to fly out with one out in the sixth inning and the Mets up 2-1, despite his control issues, despite walking Yelich to start the inning, my feeling was push him a little bit, Mendy. Now, here's what I'll say. Mendy doesn't push him. I disagree. Is it the most egregious managerial decision I've ever seen? No. Because the reality is, even if he pushes him and I get my way and everyone gets their way, what is he doing? Facing one more batter, maybe two? And based on his inconsistencies in this game, and a credit to Clay for getting in and out of trouble, he did walk four guys in this game, there's a good chance he was putting the next guy on. And there's a good chance we're seeing Reed Garrett with two on and one out instead of one on with one out. Like, the idea that Mendy pulled him so early and it changed everything, it didn't change that much, because Garrett was getting into that game in the sixth inning. I think it was unlikely. You never know, it's baseball, but I think it was unlikely that Clay Holmes was getting him to roll one over and get a double play and get through the inning. So I would have pushed him. I disagree that Mendy took him out, but let's not get it twisted. The Mets didn't lose this game because Carlos Mendoza took Clay Holmes out one batter too early. They lost this game because the LD offense was back. They had two hits. They scored two runs. Like, they did nothing offensively. And oh yeah, let's not bury the clear leader in the net negative award for this series. Reed Garrett imploded. Gives up the lead immediately on the RBI double. Gives up a clean line drive single. Walks the next batter. And there you go. Here's your Joey Ortiz grand slam. So sometimes when you're bad, and the Mets have been bad, no matter what button the manager pushes, even if we don't agree with the pushing of said button, it is going to come back and bite you in the ass. And that's what happened in game one. But I walked out of that game, not out of that game, because I was watching it on TV while doing the program. But I walked away from that game most pissed off at the offense. And then, yes, looking around at the bullpen, kind of like Will Smith in the final episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, looking around saying, I don't see anybody. I don't trust anybody. And that's obviously a problem, which is why I'm thrilled they won the second game of the doubleheader. And let's hope David Peterson can bounce back in game three and the Mets can win this series. But it's very tough to be exuding confidence. Hoff was very down earlier today when the Mets lost game one of the doubleheader. Are you feeling, Pete, a little bit better based on the fact they got a much-needed victory in game two of this doubleheader to even up this series against the Milwaukee Brewers? Are you feeling a little bit better?
Am I feeling better? Yeah, it's nice to end the night with a win. But, I mean, geez. That first game sucked, man. I wasn't enough. It was terrible. The grand slam was just like, what are we doing here? And I gotta be honest, it played pretty well. I hope it's okay. But it's still, you know, Clay Holmes, the whole starting pitching is just like really like down the dumps right now for me because no one's going long enough. You know, you said Clay Holmes got pulled, what, 90 pitches? I mean, come on.
But Pete, think about it. He's not throwing more. He's not throwing 110. He's just not. So if you let him face another batter and it's a 5-6 pitch at bat, and now you're at 96, 97, you're basically at his end game anyway. And let's not act like Clay Holmes is the only pitcher that gets pulled at 90 pitches. I mean, that's most pitchers in baseball right now. So it's not like they pulled him at 75 with one out in the sixth inning.
No. But I do want him to fight through it a little. No?
You know what the problem is? The problem right now with Clay Holmes is everybody else. And what I mean by that is 5 1/3 innings. What we from Clay Holmes coming into this season would have been acceptable. But you look at this rotation, and you look at Paul Blackburn, who is a major question mark. You look at Frankie Montas, only two starts in. One good, one really bad is a major question mark. You look at the Blade Tidwell spot. I still consider him a starter, even if he came in as the bulk guy. Like, other than David Peterson, you look at the rotation, and Clay Holmes is the guy you kind of need to go deep into a game, even though he doesn't go deep into games. So I think the circumstances of no Manaea, no Senga, and kind of the status of this rotation right now, especially with Canning out, McGill out too, it almost puts our lonely eyes on Clay Holmes and makes us rely on him to do something he's never proven he can do.
Yeah, I know, which is why this whole experiment is like, it's really being highlighted because nobody else, everything is an experiment. The pitching lab is an experiment. Clay Holmes is an experiment. Blade Tidwell going in the second inning is an experiment. By the way, congratulations for your first major league win. Experiment. It's a lot of experimenting.
Yeah, well, I think that I can't call the Clay Holmes experiment a failure because of the other pieces around him being hurt. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Like, Kodai Senga not being there, Sean Manaea not making any starts yet this season, to me is not enough to say, well, Clay Holmes has been, this hasn't worked. It has worked. Look, you get 5 1/3 innings, 2 runs from a starter, it's a quality performance. The problem is, this bullpen is overtaxed by everybody else, too. I think that Thursday night, game three of this series is such a big game. Again, one of those games in July that's a little bit bigger than others. And I think a lot of it is David Peterson. Like, we talk about the questions in this rotation right now. David Peterson was a guy who a week ago, 2 weeks ago, we looked at and said, he's our answer. He's the one guy we trust. And he's put together two bad starts in a row. One was understandable against the Phillies. The other one against the Pirates, you shake your head out. I think this start on a Thursday night, rubber game of a three-game series, chance to win two in a row, chance to have a little bit of momentum going into the Subway Series, and also to ease any concerns about David Peterson, I think it's a huge start. And obviously, it kind of rubs in the fact that Jose Quintana's on the mound, the guy that we talked about in spring training, bring him back, when the Mets were facing injuries. But I think it's a big start for David Peterson, and it's a mood changer. Mets win that game, win a series against a good Brewer team. Going into the Yankee series, you have to start to feel a little bit better. But we'll spend more time on that. We'll do a Rico Bronya right after game three of this series against Milwaukee. We'll name our Rico, I'm the man now, star of the series. We'll pick our net negative. We'll go through this series a little bit more and obviously preview what's to come against the New York Yankees. But the Mets split a doubleheader against the Brewers. They make a lineup change. It works in game two. Nimmo hits a grand slam. Lindor gets hot. And yes, the Mets have a one-game winning streak. Thank you for listening to this very special drive home edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.